Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. We're going to get started with Helen Baylor and her testimony. She had a prayer in God.
Hallelujah. You know, when I think about it, I started in the church as a little girl, 7 years old, and grandmother used to take me to church back in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I used to sing for the Lord, and I used to sing in the adult choir, and I loved the Lord with all my heart. By the time I was 9 years old, I was gung-ho, and my grandmother even said to me one day, she said, you know, baby, God's going to use you one day. And I didn't know what she meant, but I knew I liked the sound of God using me. By the time I was 11 years old, my mother and father and my five brothers and my little sister, we moved from Tulsa to California. My dad's job had transferred him out here. And by the time I was 12 years old, I found myself in the nightclubs in Los Angeles. My mom and dad used to go to the clubs on the weekends. They didn't know the Lord Jesus. And grandma wasn't around anymore, so we just quit going to church. I was in the nightclubs at 12 years old, and that was the worst place and the last place I needed to be. But I had a prayer in grandmother. By the time I was 13 years old, I had recorded my first single and began to open up for people like Stevie Wonder and Aretha Franklin, B.B. King, and Bill Cosby. And I remember opening up for him one time, and things began to happen. Hallelujah. Things began to happen all around me. The devil had a trap set. He was going to set me up because, see, I liked it. I liked the money. I was making a lot of money. And I liked the glamour. And I liked the applause because that said, I love you. We all want to be there. Hallelujah. I didn't know that Jesus loved me. I didn't know a thing. When I was 16 years old, I had had a baby out of wedlock, and by the time I was 17 years old, I left home and joined the cast of Hair, and I began to travel all across the country. I was making more money than my mom and dad put together by then, and things were looking pretty good. Then I was introduced to marijuana. Devil had a trap set. Next thing I know, it was pills to get up in the morning and pills to go to bed at night. Then it was the alcohol, and Then I became very promiscuous and ran around with a lot of people I had no business being with. So one day I was introduced to cocaine, and I know that all drugs are a spirit. But this cocaine became my best friend. And I began to hang out with the devil, and I did everything that I was big and bad enough to do. And I'm not glorifying him. I'm just letting him know that I don't belong to you. Hallelujah. I've been set free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I went on for about 12 years of my life, and I traveled with people, and I worked with Chaka Khan and Rufus, and I worked with Captain and Tennille and all the people in the studios, and I was good at my job, and I was quick, and I could demand double, triple scale, and I went to work, and I was high every day. The devil was trying to kill me, but I had a praying grandmother, never turned her back on me. Hallelujah. One time when I was in Houston, Texas, I met a man there, and I was getting ready to go on the road with Chaka Khan, and there was a group going on the road with us, Heat Wave, and they had a man working with them, and he was doing their lights, and I didn't know this, but I met him on the road, and he was a nice guy, and you never would know it to look at him, but he was also, not only was a light director, but he was a cocaine dealer. The devil knows how to really do it. So we began to be friends, and we began to date, I began to get all the cocaine I wanted for free. How many of you know it wasn't for free? But we came home, me and this young man, and we began to live together, and he was still selling drugs, and I began to make drops for him. I was dropping off cocaine and making a lot of foolish turns in my life, and my life began to do this spiral, downward spiral. I was going to hell. Then I began to watch Christian television. I began to watch Dr. Frederick Casey Price. Hallelujah. No matter what time I went to bed on Saturday night, whether it was 3:30, 4:30 in the morning, somehow our eyes popped open at 8:30. Evidence? And I have to be honest with you. I used to sit there with my pre-rolled joints from the night before, and I used to fire up a joint and watch Dr. Price. And I used to kind of, Dr. Price, you know how I am. I used to kind of make fun of Dr. Price. I said, well, just look at how a faith come by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. But faith came. Hallelujah. Go on and praise him tonight. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Just see. For about 2 years, I watched Christian television. I was in and out, and I bought a Bible, and I would throw away all of the paraphernalia to smoke crack with and the smoke-free base, and we used to make it and make our own. I threw it all in the trash, and then I'd go get it again, and we'd get high. And one night, as I was getting loaded, I began to pass out, and my head hit the wall. Boom! And I began to slide down the wall, and as I came to, all of my bodily fluids were doing their own thing, and I was dying. But I had a praying grandmother, and I knew enough to call on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It wasn't a couple of days later that I was watching Christian television, and Grandma tells me she was laying on her face during this time, and she had been fasting for 2 weeks and just calling on the name of Jesus. Save my granddaughter. Save my granddaughter, Jesus. I watched Christian TV one night, and it was as if God himself said, that's enough. And he rebuked the devil from me long enough for me to make an intelligent decision. And I said, Jesus, if you're turning me back, I want to come home if you take me. And I said, Jesus, I know you're real. If you'll just take all of this away from me, take all of the drugs, take them away, I'm tired. And I want you to know that instantly I was set free. Instantly I was delivered. Hallelujah. Glory.
Lifting up the name of Jesus.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. And I am your daily lover, and that was the testimony of praying grandmother with Helen Baylor, lifting up the name of Jesus, Helen Baylor, right here on The Love Journey. We're going to get ready and turn within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. Come on, Holy Spirit. And as we recognize this great spirit that is known by many, 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 many names, recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And as we turn within, honoring the breath, becoming very intentional with the presence. And as we move into the space, into our heart space this morning, we recognize the oneness as we honor this month, the divine feminine presence, the divine mother, Mother Earth, Mother Nature, great grandmother, grandmother, mothers. As we ask to be released from any thoughts that is not serving us in the mother energy, we release it right now as we become intentional about the breath. I want you to breathe in through the nose, holding it to the point of vibration, holding it to the count of eight, releasing the breath, and remember to breathe into the heart. Remember to breathe deep into the diaphragm. Family, there's power in the breath. And sometimes we forget to breathe. So in this right now moment, I want you to become still and know that I am God. Let's breathe, family. And I want you to breathe again, family, remembering there is power in the breath. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, family, let's breathe. Be still. And know that I am God. Breathe. And release.
Day 4. A prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive my mother. Blessed Father God, Holy Mother God, today I ask for and allow myself to receive and experience your grace. Today I claim my freedom as I declare my willingness and readiness to release my mother from all hurt, anger, woundedness, judgment, disappointment, and sorrow hidden anywhere in my consciousness or being. I surrender all memories, experiences, circumstances, and situations where I have held my mother with blame or fault. I ask to be lifted above any and all judgments, critiques, assessments, perceptions, beliefs, and habitual patterns of thought in which I see and hold my mother as anything less than your perfect child. I ask that you fill me with your compassion, your truth, your knowledge that allows me to see my mother as your daughter, whom you love and in whom you are well pleased. Lift me beyond my intellect and ego that I may behold my mother with all my heart as you do. I rest in thee, I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive my mother.
Thank you, God. Divine Mother, Father God, we decree and declare release in the mighty consciousness of Jesus right now, God. We call forth the energy of forgiveness as we remove all things this morning that no longer serves a higher purpose. Thanks right now, God. We give thanks right now, God. We give thanks right now, Holy Spirit. As I ask that every word of my mouth and every meditation of my heart, oh, come, Holy Spirit, would be so acceptable in thy sight, God. As we come, as we invoke and invite your presence into this call right now, God, as we call forth your presence, God, as we call it forth in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As you come and anoint our minds this morning and bring forth a fresh anointing upon us this day, God. Oh, come forth and bring forth an anointing, God. Such an anointing that will bless every cell in our body as we return to its highest vibration in our body, God, as we release anything in the cells of our mind right now that is not serving any information, any patterns, any data, any experience that is lodged into the cells of our beings. We ask it to be released right now, Holy Spirit. Come and send your energetic expression through our cells right now, God. Thank you, God. As you bring forth a fresh anointing upon us right now, God, we ask you to bless and anoint our thoughts, that our thoughts will be your thoughts, God, that every thought we think will be only of you, Holy Spirit. Come, God. In the words of Albert Einstein, I only think the thoughts of God. We ask you to bless every word we speak, that the melodic sounds will come forth in our words, God, and we will only speak the words of God. Come, Holy Spirit, and bless our power center, the power to command, the power to speak a thing and it shall be done. Come, Holy Spirit, and bless the authority and the dominion we've been given to speak a thing and bring forth vibrational healing just by our words, God. I'm asking you to bless our words that people will hear the presence of you when we speak, God. Come, Holy Spirit, and bless our throat center, our power center, the center to command this day, God, as we command the glory and the bless of this day, God. We ask you to bless it, Holy Spirit, as we send forth our divine angels to go before us, Holy Spirit, to create ease, elegance, and grace, God, to bless and ease our money substance, to lead and guide us into the blessings of our day, God. We ask you to come, Holy Spirit, as we bless and anoint our hands this morning. Come, God, bless and anoint our hands right now, God, as we lift them up to you to receive all of our goodness, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, as we bless these hands right now, God, as we bless the work of these hands, God, we ask you to bless the work of these hands right now, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, we ask you to anoint these hands right now, even the fingerprints, God. We ask you to bless and anoint them as we lift them to receive your goodness. We ask you to that everything we touch, God, will come into the understanding of who and what you are, God, that we will be so anointed in our hands that everything we touch will turn to God. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, bless and anoint these hands as we lift them to you, Holy Spirit, knowing that we can receive all of your goodness on this day, God. I ask you to come and bless, amplify, spiritualize this beautiful hands that you've been giving us to bring forth our gifts. Come, Holy Spirit, and bless and anoint these feet, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I ask you to bless and anoint these feet as I imagine the presence of you right now, God, anointing our feet right now, God, that everywhere we tread, our feet should only be on holy ground, God, and everywhere we go, God, the blessings go, God. I ask you to bless and anoint these feet right now, God. Come, Holy Spirit, and bless and anoint each and every one of us right now, God, that we will be so anointed with the blessings of Solomon, God, not just for the wealth, but the wisdom, God, to move your kingdom forward. I'm asking you to come and bring forth wealth upon us right now, God. In the consciousness, in the prosperity consciousness of Christ, we call it forth right now in our money sustenance, God. We call it forth in the very center of our being, God, that every cell in our body will return to its highest vibration and be healed right now, God. Bless our bodies right now, God, that it may manifest the radiant beauty of you, Holy Spirit. That everywhere we go, people will see your presence in the body temple that you've given us to express you right now. Come on, Holy Spirit. Come in and bless and anoint us this morning with the anointing of Abraham, God. Oh, that we will be so blessed right now, God. That we will be so blessed that even the blessed will call us blessed, God. I'm calling forth the blessings, so many blessings that even the blessed will call us blessed, God. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and anoint these lips of mine, God, and each and every person under the sound of my voice, that we will be so anointed with the anointing of David, that all we can speak is our cup runneth over, God. Over, God, I'm asking you to bless and anoint the imaging power that we have in our third eye center right now, God. Come, God, and release the veil and any conditioning that keep us from seeing the beauty and the vision that you have for our life, God. I'm asking you to bless the ability to imagine, to see it, God, to bring it into our physical manifestation, in our physical manifestation through the visioning of the third eye, God. I'm asking you to bless and anoint our third eye right now. Amplify the vision, God. Amplify the ability for us to see it, God. I'm asking you to bless and anoint our eyes, God. Our eyes to only see you, God. That we may have spiritual 20/20 vision, God. Right now, God, bless and anoint our eyes right now, God. That we may see ourselves in the way that you see us. Come on, Holy Spirit. That we may be granted the permission to see ourselves in the way that you see us, God, in the most powerful, all-knowing, all-wisdom, knowing that we are always guided and led by the presence and the power of you, God. I'm asking you to bless and anoint our eyes today, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come and anoint these ears right now, God, that the only thing that we can hear is the melodic sounds of you, Holy Spirit, that we have attuned our ears to the vibration of only hearing you, God, that we only hear the words that you speak, God, and we attune and align our vibratory energy with the presence of you as we invoke and invite your presence into this call right now, God. We ask you to come right now, God, and anoint and raise the vibratory energy in this right now call, God. In the mighty name, nature, and consciousness of all that is God. Come. Come, God. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and do your will, God. Let thy will be done. Come, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, God, in the nature of love. We call forth your presence right now, God, knowing that you are all there is. Thank you, God. Thank you for your powerful presence. In the mighty, matchless, majestic name of Jesus, we say amen. Amen.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've developed
Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. I am your daily lover, and that was Helen Baylor again. Mary, did you know? I'm going to talk about the great I am today, the I am presence. I'm going to play this, Reverend, like a little bit of it just so you can hear.
Are we ready? All right. We continue our prosperity series, and the lesson subject that I have selected for today is the prosperity consciousness of Jesus. The consciousness of Jesus. And I'm going to read the subject proper and have you repeat it after me for the record. I am the prosperity consciousness of Jesus. I have no anxiety. Now let's read it twice more. I am the prosperity consciousness of Jesus. I have no anxiety. I am the prosperity consciousness of Jesus. I have no anxiety. I don't know how long it's going to take.
I wanted you to hear that. I am the prosperity consciousness of Jesus. I want you to think about that. I am the prosperity consciousness of Jesus. What does that really mean when you hear that? You heard Reverend Ike say that, right? I am the prosperity consciousness of Jesus. Now, we talked about the power and the name Jesus. But what happens if we call forth the name of Jesus in the I am presence? The power. We already understand the power and name of Jesus, but what about the power and the presence of the I am consciousness? The I am consciousness. So as we talk about the I am consciousness, I want you to think about the word. The ancient Egyptians had a special secret name they called on for producing wonderful results, and that name was I Am. Moses learned the secret power that could be released through that name at the court of Pharaoh, and that the Egyptians placed the great power in the name was evident to Moses, since the words I Am appeared on the walls of every Egyptian temple that was built at that time. When Moses was instructed by God to use this all-powerful name to rescue the Hebrews from the dreaded Pharaoh, Moses knew that extraordinary power would accompany him on the mission. As he invoked this I am power, he not only rescued the Hebrew nation from cruel slavery, but he also performed amazing tasks of feeding them for 40 years in the wilderness, healing his critical sister leprosy and making the Hebrews' dreams come true as he led them to the border of their long promised land. Think of Moses, who has been described as the emancipator of the Hebrews, the prophet of God, the architect of moral law and order, the founder of the Hebrew nation, a warrior, a legislator, a judge, a priest, an organizer, and a miracle worker. We found that the secret to his power was in the I Am. The I Am was the Hebrew name for God. For good, they became known as the people of the I Am. This term, I Am, has often been described as the Song of Moses because it was the text in which he placed in his success. I believe when we call forth the I Am, we are activating the presence of God as us in us all around. You see, there's strange powers lying dormant within us that name all that you dream of as desirable can be released through the redeeming words, I am, because these words stir up the divine nature within you. The I am presence just stir up the divine nature. I am is the name of God that is within you. And Jesus made reference to it as the kingdom of God that is in us. And to meditate consistently on the statement, I am the light of the world, can flood your whole being with light and drive out darkness. Scientists tell us that at the center of every cell and every atom of the body is light. And when that light is recognized and turned on by the presence of God in us, by the mind of God in us, the dark appearance of disease, depressions, lack, confusion, and inharmony flee. Come on, Holy Spirit. Just as the Hebrews of the old, we are all people of the I Am. We are all people of the I Am. When you go forth using the name I Am in a positive, uplifting way, it opens every door for you. It dissolves every obstacle. It prepares the way to your good and then leads you right to it. Every time you say, think, or feel the words I am, you have gripped a handle of power. Every time you say, I am the great I am, you have released a dynamic force that's going to produce results. So many times we hear the I Am presence being spoke in the word. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14 and 6. I am the resurrection and the life, John 11. I am the bread of life. I am a king. I am the good shepherd. Your I Am power is especially effective in healing every area of your life. When you speak the words, I am, every cell and every atom of your being brings to attention. Every atom and every cell of your body in your being springs to attention, realizing this. The word says, let the weak say, I am strong. I am well. I am beautiful. I am success. I am the prosperity consciousness of Jesus. You heard Reverend Ike say that. I am the prosperity consciousness of Jesus. You make your destiny by the things which you attach to the words I am. Emmett Fox once advised, say to your problems, I am, have sent me, and the way will open for you to surmount all difficulties. I am the radiant child of God. I am, I am, I am. Emmett Fox tells a story in a book called The Ten Commandments, where a grandmother was watched and over her grandchild. And the baby had a fever and an infection. And she watched the fever and infection leave her child while she was holding the child in her arms. She affirmed, I am life. I am life. I am life. And she watched the fever leave that grandbaby. Power in the praying, grandmother. One man, a physician, has predicted that the day will come when people in hospitals will stop saying I'm sick and will be healed by using their I am power. You can decree peace of mind and body by quietly decreeing, I am peace. See, the body is wonderfully obedient to the words, I am. Reverend Ike goes on to discuss in that sermon how calling on the consciousness of Jesus changed his life from poverty to being able to have 12, not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven, but 12 Rolls Royces. By calling on the consciousness, the nature, and the prosperity of the consciousness of Jesus. Reverend Knight used his I am statements to move his self poverty into one of prosperity. Not only did the Hebrews and ancient Egyptians know there was great power in the name I am, but other great civilizations of past used these words as secret tests as well. In the 16th century, a man from ancient Iran named Zoroaster began to daily meditate on the words I am. Not only did he step out of his rank and file of common men into the rulership of his nation, but he also founded the prominent Persian religion, Zoroastrianism, which became the world's first universal religion. That was something I read in a book by Catherine Parker. Charles Fillmore, in his book, once described the success power to be found when you make I am your secret test. Every time you send out a thought of wholehearted faith in the I am part of yourself, you set in motion the chain of causes that must bring the results you seek. Ask whatsoever you will in the name of the I am, the divine within, and your demands will be fulfilled. Both heaven and earth will hasten to do your bidding. The I am consciousness will lead you out of the desert of negation and into the promised land of plenty that flows with milk and honey. That's in Charles Fillmore's book, The Ten Commandments. There once was a young girl who proved she was a servant girl, Catherine said, in her book, success power to be found in his name. She strongly desired to become a foreign missionary for a certain religious group, but she had not the required training. Nevertheless, she kept affirming, I'm going to be a missionary because with God, all things are possible. And as she kept using her I am power upward, a group of delegates representing another denomination invited her to go ahead and go abroad as one of the missionaries. And they decided that her great desire and real and her will to desire to spread the truth was far more important to their cause than a minor education could be. Catherine Ponder said early in her ministry, I decided to experiment with the prayer I am statement just to test the power. The results astounded me. At the time, a member of my prayer ministry met with me each weekday morning at 11 o'clock in the church prayer room. And for an hour of affirmative prayer meditation, this prayer partner happened to be a very busy businessman, a member of the church board, who took an hour daily from the pressure of his work to pray with me about church business, the names in the prayer ministry, and other matters. Realizing that the early Christians considered the name Jesus Christ to be the lost word of power, whereas the people of the Old Testament considered the name I am to be the lost word of power, it occurred to me that combining the two names might have a special effectiveness. Now, we just heard Reverend Knight talk about I am the prosperity consciousness of Jesus, right? She said, for a number of months, among the other affirmations used, my prayer partner and I daily affirmed, I am the Christ mind. I am, I am, I am, letting the Christ mind think truth to me. I am, I am, I am, letting the Christ mind reveal the truth to me. I am, I am, I am, I am, letting the Christ mind express the truth through me. I am. And by placing our hands on our prayer list, we affirm, I am letting the Christ mind heal through me. I am. I am. I am letting the Christ mind prosper through me. I am letting the Christ mind produce perfect results through me. I am. I am. I am. And as we daily met and affirmed these words over and over quietly, we could feel a powerful presence in our midst. It was as though a cool breeze came into that prayer room, a healing balm, which might be described as the Holy Spirit, of as the whole Spirit of good. And it could, as we continued to affirm, the affirmation caused a powerful deep within us to awaken, a warm, soothing feeling of life that spiritually fed and renewed us. It also inspired us concerning anything we needed to know for our personal welfare and for the good of the church. Though, and then through my use of this I am affirmation, I found that my spiritual understanding increased considerably. People were healed just by attending classes and services at the church, and the lives of others was vastly improved through the receiving of private counseling. Amazing insight was given to me in church matters that brought happy results in our organization, redecoration, new members, increased income. Also, it was as though a super intelligence within me had been tapped, so that I wrote prolifically during that period. And the practical results that followed the practice of the I am affirmation for this businessman were these. His financial affairs prospered. So during this period that he gave thousands of dollars in tithes to the church, he also received vast improvement in his health problem that had troubled him for years. Charles Trimble said, how to use this creative power of the universe to which nothing is impossible. He said, we discovered that the I am power within us is a creative power. And it's his business to attend to every call and to bring into manifestation that which you decree through your spoken word. And as you deliberately use your I am power upward and towards your good, you can walk free and independent of trouble and sorrow, untouched by it. You can walk the road of life triumphantly, gloriously, as the radiant victorious of God. It's through the proper use of the I am power you can find yourself filled with the creative power of the universe to which nothing will be impossible to you. And as you dwell upon the I am power, you will fulfill your divine destiny, experiencing peace, experiencing health, experiencing plenty for the here and now. Reverend Knight said, his affirmation of calling forth and invoking the I am consciousness, the I am prosperity consciousness of Jesus Christ, that he was able to lift himself out of bondage of lack into the land of prosperity. There's something powerful about the I am power. The I am presence. Even Joshua used the I am presence to go from a slave to a millionaire, to being able to conquer all the things that he conquered. See, Joshua had been described by historians as a servant to Moses, spy, soldier, savior of the Hebrews, a statesman and saint. He became Israel's premier, a mature warrior, a perfect knight. He has been described as an elusive figure early in his life, as a successful initiate, a man of honor, a student of the great Moses, a learned man, a strict leader, an outstanding general, and a highly evolved and soul who fulfilled the divine mission of millionaire proportion. It all started in Egypt. Joshua had a prosperous background. He was born in Egypt in the 13th century B.C. There, during the first 40 years of his life, he was exposed to the vast wealth of the richest country of the ancient world. You see, Joshua was surrounded by aura of prosperity even at birth. And the name Joshua not only means Jehovah's help, salvation, triumph, victory, and deliverance, it also means Jehovah makes rich. For Jehovah, this was I apologize. For Joseph, this was prophetic because the events of his life showed that God's help helped Moses through everything that he had done. It's interesting that the both names Joshua and Jesus were derived from the word Jehovah, which means I am that I am. The mystical phrase, which is filled with success power, was not a new one to Joshua. You see, the Egyptians felt there was such great power in the name I am, which means God within, that this phrase appeared upon the walls of all and every Egyptian temple. Both Moses and Joshua became familiar with this sacred name during the years in Egypt. Later, the I am was called the Song of Moses because it was considered his secret text for success. You see, the Hebrews used the term I am so much that they became known as the people of the I am, and the I am, which means the God within. They considered the term I am the lost word of power, which when released in meditation and through spoken decrees could perform miracles in an instant, that they stirred up the God power within them dwelling upon the words I am is indicated in the vast wealth and great power that came to them after their arrival in the promised land. Whereas the phrase I am, meaning the God power within, which means we activate the presence of God that is in us, as us, had been the song of Moses and his success secret, it was a expanded phrase, I am that I am, meaning the universal God power that had been the song of Joshua and his secret test for success as well. See, the Joshua's name meant I am that I am was prophetic of the widespread influence he was to have upon the Hebrews for generations to come. It became Joshua's mission to call often upon the universal God power, I am that I am God. So to help unify the Hebrews' promised land and enjoy their vast benefits. Whereas Moses helped teach the Hebrews that they had a power within them that would deliver them from their bondage and wilderness experience. You see, it was Joshua who helped them externalize that inner power and use it in a universal way to go forth and claim their promised land, settle there permanently, and pass on the vast wealth that they generated within and without to future generations. We're talking about legacies now. How can we use the song of success? How can we use the practical meaning of these terms, I am and I am that I am? How can you use them to solve your problems and prosper? go alone sometime and be still and close your eyes. Speak over and over the I am phrase, which means the God within. And soon you will feel the whole being filled with a sense of power that you had not previously known. You can dwell on phrases such as, I am love. I am that I am love. I am that I am health. I am prosperous. I am peace. I am that I am peace. And just try it for a week using the words I am over and over, over toward the good you wish to experience. And the results can amaze you. Say to your situations, your challenges, your promise, I am has sent me. And watch it open up a door. Because God has sent you to wherever you are right now. They say that George Washington used the I am power to succeed. As early as the age of 12, he insisted, I'm going to marry a beautiful woman. I'm going to be one of the wealthiest men in the land. I am going to lead the army of my colony. I am going to rule the nation which I help. For others, for the problems of other people, declare I am that I am is mightily at work for you right now. You know, so many times when people call us with their situations, or when we see people going through, we begin to get in a consciousness of the negative stratosphere that they're in. And our job is to see them as whole, perfect, and complete. Our job is to see them as the I am that I am is mightily at work for you right now. It's through our words and through our seeing power that we can heal and assist others in healing. You see, through the use of these words, meaning the universal God power, you grip a handle of that power that will produce out of results. If you have felt the stirring power of this inner power by meditating upon the I am, but not have attained out of results, then begin to affirm it again. I am that I am in your meditation, and this will open a way for your visible results. Catherine Ponder writes in her book, A Businesswoman Learned About the I Am Power for Success at a Time When She Was in a Very Bad Health. And in spite of the fine medical treatment that seemed little help for her to get well, she was in desperation that she began to meditate, affirm daily, I am that I am is healing me now. I am that I am is healing me now. And when people asked how she feel, how you feeling, she replied, I am that I am. And people would say, how you feeling? She said, I am that I am. And she said it over and over again. She began to feel better. Her health is perfect. These mystical phrases that we've been talking about for these last 2 days can really be dynamic in shifting the power and the presence of what's happening in our life. Like our prominent ancestor Joshua was also destined to use the prosperity law of release and leave the material wealth of Egypt behind, along with the thousands of his kinsmen. Joshua made a dramatic departure out of Egypt under the able leadership of the magnificent Moses. And like Abraham in Babylon and like Moses in Egypt, Joshua was destined to leave the outer material wealth of Egypt in order to develop an inner metaphysical consciousness of prosperity, which would prosper him far more lavishly on a permanent basis than material wealth alone could have done. See, an inner consciousness of wealth includes all of the vast benefits of material wealth, but much more than that. You see, when we call forth the I am presence, when we start to invoke and invite the presence of God within, we don't just get the material things. We get a whole lot of inner consciousness, peace, health, plenty, always accompanying inner consciousness of supply. You see, there is no fear of loss or sense of burden because one looks to God for guidance and supply rather than looking to people or conditions. You see, when I first lost or was released from my job to be moved into the space, what did I do? I went into fear mode. I went into fear mode of loss because I was claiming that God was the source of my supply and everything and everybody prospered me now, but I was not embodying the words that I was speaking because I had to learn how to become inner consciousness wealth. Even though I had the material wealth, I had what is the material trappings of what wealth looked like, but I was still operating in a consciousness that was not quite where it should have been. Why? Because I thought that unconsciously that my job was my source and my supply, right? And I had to understand that there's no fear and loss. There's no sense of burden because I no longer had the job that I thought was my supply. Even though I said God was my source, I wasn't operating in that consciousness. Because when I realized that God, and I started to look for God for my guidance and supply, now it took a long time to get to the place where I want to be. And I'm not there yet, but I tell you that it is so different. The consciousness of who I am is so different because I know without a shadow of a doubt that God is my source. See, the prosperity consciousness that Joshua began developing in his barren wilderness, which what I had to do was to lavishly enrich his life for many generations to come. That same lavish prosperity consciousness, one that is not controlled by inflation, recession, or the economic fluctuations on the world scene, or whether you have a job or not, is still available to us today as we become aware of it and make the inner effort to develop it. Our job is to develop our inner consciousness space by using our spiritual tools. Catherine Ponders gave us a prosperity meditation. She says it helped many people. And this is her word. I do not depend upon persons or conditions for my prosperity. God's the source of my supply. And God provides his own amazing channels of supply to me now. My prosperity now comes to me from expected channels in expected ways. My prosperity also comes to me from unexpected channels in unexpected ways. From all points of the universe, rich supply comes to me now. You see, that's what Catherine Ponder meditated on. And as we get back to Joshua, while still serving as a slave in Egypt, Joshua had observed Moses' use of the prosperity law of persistence. When Moses deals with the powerful king of Pharaoh, Moses had insisted over and over again, "Let my people go," until it had finally happened. Exodus 5:1, 7:16, 8:1, 20:8, 20:9, 1:13, and 10:3. We hear this story. Now, Exodus is a story in the Bible. In the Bible, the Exodus means to exit. And so this is a good example of how to exit out of our wilderness experience. See, Joshua had learned the prospering power of looking to God for guidance, protection, and supply. He had been in that great throng of perhaps 2 million who left Egypt by night and witnessed God's incredible protection and deliverance when the pursuing Egyptians drowned in the sea while trying to recapture the Hebrews. Joshua had been on hand when the hungry and the thirsty Hebrews reached the barren wilderness. He observed the prosperity laws that was used by Moses to miraculously provide water from the rock and the manna from heaven. He observed the unusual ways the Hebrews were clothed in the desolate place. He was among those who Moses later reminded in Deuteronomy 8:4, the raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy feet swell these 40 years. You see, that's what I was telling you the other day. You see, when I looked upon my vision wall, and I decided that I just was thanking God for all the things that I know that's coming, that God has shown me in a preview of my imagination. You know, we remember now, imagination is the preview of God's coming attractions in your life, right? And as I saw upon my coming attractions, I had to thank God that even in my barren experience, even in my wilderness experience, that I was still blessed abundantly. I still dressed to the nine. I still drove fine cars. I still went to places and didn't even understand how it was all happening. You see, Joshua was among those who began putting into practice the prosperity commandments that was given by Jehovah to Moses soon after he arrived in the wilderness. Joshua was observing Moses' belief that opulence was their birthright, was their heritage, even in the barren wilderness. I want you to get this. Now, I really want you to get this right here. Now, why am I explaining this to you? Because it's easy to get caught up in the seemingly appearances of lack when you are in your wilderness experience. Come on, somebody need to say amen to that. And I, let me just tell you, even I had not recognized the opulence that God had blessed me even in my wilderness experience with beautiful people like you all who blessed me at times when you didn't even know I was going through. You blessed me when you didn't even know I was going through. With opulence, with words, with gifts, with presents, with money, with so many things that you blessed me with even when you didn't know I was going through. Because that's how God is, even in your barrenness. And sometimes we can't see it because we're too busy looking in the wrong direction. That's why my prayer is to ask God to tune our eyes. Tune our eyes to see God in every space we're in. See, Joshua observed Moses' belief that opulence was their heritage. Opulence was the birthright, even in their barren wilderness. This became apparent when Moses followed God's instruction and ordered the construction of a portable sanctuary worth more than $400,000 and filled it with priceless gold, silver, and brass. Joshua observed the bejeweled clothes designed for the high priest of Israel and described the garments for glory and for beauty. This is in Exodus 28:2. Skillful workmen equivalent to our modern day designers and tailors like Gucci, y'all, like Ann Taylor, had designed those elegant garments of fine linen and brilliant colors set in gold, worn with emeralds and diamonds and other precious stones. Such an incredible display of lavish beauty and wealth in one surrounding in a desert place doubtless left its mark on Joshua's expanding awareness of the universal abundance and our access to it. What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you, even in your wilderness experience, whatever you're going through right now, make sure you surround yourself with the finer things. Beautiful art, beautiful furniture. Clothe yourself with the beautiful clothes and always know that you have access, even in your wilderness experience, to the abundance because you are an heir to this abundance. You see, the events of Joshua's life indicate that he became a highly developed man and a successful initiate. But how did this happen? You see, it's in the wilderness Joshua was privileged to study with one of the greatest prosperity teachers of all time, and that was Moses. Joshua shared the confidence of Moses as he worked side by side with him. Legend states that Moses established a mystery school in the wilderness where he gave only a few chosen initiates certain oral teachings, which were never written, but were passed on from one generation to the next by word of mouth. And these instructions were in the form of philosophical keys based upon metaphysical interpretations, some of which are still known and taught today. You see, the first five books of the Bible attributed to Moses' authorship contains these fascinating metaphysical keys for prosperous living. And they are found there in both literal and allegorical form. The most obvious prosperity principles that is taught during the era are found in these books. In the first five books, it's found in there. You know, no wonder the Hebrews were so interested in getting into the promised land of Canaan. First, Joshua had made Abraham the father of the Hebrews a millionaire promise. He said in Genesis 17:8, I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land of thy sojournings, all the land of Canaan for everlasting possession. Second, I want you to understand the word Canaan metaphysically means the realm of sustenance. The Hebrews were trying to gain an understanding of sustenance as the key to all wealth and how to manifest that wealth through visible results. And what I'm telling you is that Joshua learned how to build his inner consciousness through these teachings so that he could command his way into his promised land.
See, Moses trained Joshua just as Jesus later trained the 12 disciples. Joshua's special function in the wilderness was to carry out the commands of his teacher, Moses. He did so with humility, unswerving loyalty, and devotion. His success in doing so led to these further responsibilities. When he was selected by Moses to rout the Amalekites, in Exodus 17, Joshua defeated them in a brilliant victory in Sinai. He was placed in charge of the tabernacle meetings, and he was appointed a member of the tribal representatives sent to survey the Canaan. And that Joshua had a prosperity consciousness is indicated in a report that he gave to the Promised Land when he returned from the spying there. His loyalty led his eventual succession of Moses as the esteemed premier of Israel. You see, Joshua was so loyal to the commands of Moses, and he had special significance for us to understand. The possession of the land was conditioned upon complete obedience to the laws of mind action. Moses symbolized knowledge of these laws, the inner laws of prosperity and success, which function through the mind, whereas Joshua symbolized the love of these laws and the use of these laws, which is in the heart. And when we get something in the heart, we can manifest it. That's why Joshua was able to manifest the ability to take the Hebrews into the Promised Land, because it was in his heart. It's the inworking of the laws, family. It's the inworking that gives us the outer working of the things that we want to manifest. Like Moses, we can claim freedom from a great deal of bondage in our life through gaining the inner knowledge of the inner laws of prosperity. That knowledge can lead us to the very edge of our promised land of unlimited supply. But it takes the love of the laws to take us in. Come on, y'all. Come on, do you get what I'm saying? Moses represents the thinking part of the law, and Joshua represents the heart part of the law, meaning the love of the law, family. It's the love of these spiritual inner laws that's going to take you from your wilderness period into your land of abundance. Practice. Perhaps you heard this old joke. What is the quickest way to get to Carnegie Hall? Asked the visitor on the street of New York. And the answer is practice, 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 came a musician's reply. That's a mystic saying. There must be an inner working before there can be an outer working. Yeah, there must be an inner working of the laws of the consciousness of prosperity in your thoughts, feelings, and understanding before there can be an outer working of prosperity results in your life. The inner working takes patience and persistence, the kind Joshua exhibited in the wilderness as he faithfully carried out the laws of Moses' commands, but the lasting benefits enjoyed by him by his followers for many generations afterwards made the process a worthwhile for him. Now, I really want you to get this. I don't even know. Let me see what time. Okay, we're 15 minutes after time, but I just really want you to get what I'm saying to you. Moses represented the mental standing of us getting the information. Think about that. But when something is etched into the heart, when we become lovers of the spiritual laws, when we etch it into our heart, something else happens. Let me tell you what Catherine Ponder says in a book. She said this on page 24. When I recently looked at some of the notes of research I had done on Joshua 10 years ago while still living in Texas, I realized that the period was certainly an appropriate one for me to be fretting over his success secrets. Like the children of Israel, I was in the midst of my own wilderness period. Even though I had written the best-selling book, The Dynamic Laws of Prosperity, and had been prospered by its philosophy to a degree, I was still working hard to develop a new ministry from financial scratch and to prosper personally. And during this period, I was also trying to emotionally survive the sudden death of my late husband. And there were other tests. My promised land seemed so far, far away. It did not help to ask, where is my good, or why don't the dynamic laws of prosperity work for me more? I discovered that it was only when I decided that I loved the laws so much that I could continue to use them anyway, that they began to work for me personally in greater degrees. So just as they were working for thousands of my readers, that became the turning point to a far better result for them than any previous period. The knowledge of the laws of my actions, which is Moses. Now get this, family. She writes, the knowledge of the law, the mind action, which is Moses, give you confidence and power, and it urges you to go forward. But that is not enough. It's the love of the law of my action, which is the Joshua power that helps you proceed. Although Joshua spent 40 years in the negative conditions of Egyptian slavery and another in the wilderness, he never let those experiences affect him adversely. He was learning, growing, preparing, planning for better things all the time. Too many people who read self-help books stop with Moses. They stop with just the law of the mind, the knowledge of the law of the mind, and they wonder why they do not get the results they study, because it takes the love of the law. It takes to get into the heart, the persistent youth, as reflected in the life of Joshua, to cross over into the promised land. A fan once wrote us, she said, I have read all of your books, now what do? And I said, practice, dear, practice. I know from personal experience that to do so will be bring satisfying results. The fullness of time is an evolving process, as Joshua discovered. And I have a lot of notes today, so I didn't realize I was going to be going over so far over. I'm going to stop right here, but I want you to think about this. If you don't take anything from the conversation today, I want you to take one thing away. And that is through the understanding of the mind action is not enough, meaning just the knowledge of something, having the knowledge of something. But if it's not in the heart, if we have not learned to love this spiritual process and we have not embedded it into the heart space, then how will we going to enter into the promised land? The mind can only take us to the edge, but the heart can take us in. Come on, family. Somebody know what I'm talking about right here. It's not enough to have the mind action. We got to get it in our heart. We have to get this embedded into the heart. This is a powerful lesson right here. Pray for you today that you will begin discovering the praise, the power that is in you, and you will begin to love that process. And as you rise out of limitation into a far greater abundance than you will ever have known before, when you embed this in your heart, I tell you, family, God downloaded this into my spirit. I said, God, I do your work, God. I'm living your word, God. I'm doing what you asking me. I'm living on purpose. I'm speaking it and I'm doing it. But God said, is it in your heart? We got to clean up our heart, family, and allow the goodness and the presence of the I am consciousness of Christ shine through the heart space. That is the conduit of how God uses and bring forth and flow through us. It's in the heart. We got to get a love for the words, God. We got to get a love for the tools and the knowledge and embed it into our heart space. That's my message. Any questions, comments, or concern, star 6, press 1 on the Blog Talk Radio. If you're on Blog Talk, that's the 602 number. Just press 1. And if you're in the teleconference line and you have a question, comment, or concern, you just star 6. And the reason why I'm asking you, it's because I want you to get this information, and I want you to be able to share this information and use this information. So if you have questions about it, star 6 on the Blog Talk Radio. I'm apologize. Press 1. That's the 602 number. If you're on that Blog Talk, press 1, and let me see you want to know something or you want to comment about it. Star 6 if you're on teleconference. I'm telling you, the knowledge is not enough, family. We can't just be hearers of this word. We can't just have it in our mind, family. You wonder why you haven't moved to that next level. You haven't embedded it, the word, into your heart. You can go to church every Sunday. You can read a Bible. You can confirm, affirm, and do all this stuff. But if it's not in your heart, it will take you to the edge, but not in. Come on, family. It will take you to the water, but you can't drink it. All right, I guess nobody got nothing to say. But okay, family, I love you. And I want to remind you that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. And I want to remind you today that I am the prosperity consciousness of Jesus. Isn't that what Reverend Ike said?
I want you to have a great weekend. And remember, not just dream, you know, God-sized dream, but to live them, family. We have the power to live our God-sized dreams. Family. Whew. We got the power, family. All right. Enjoy your weekend, family. You've been tuned in to The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram, and I am your daily lover, and this is Byron Cage. I will bless the Lord.
It's the Prince of Praise, Byron Cage, with Padilla. Come on. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and everything that's within me. Come on. I will bless his name. Is there anybody in this place that is here to bless him? Let me hear you make some noise. Come on, here we go. Yeah. Magnify.
Magnify the Lord with me.
Come on, sing it to him, sing it.
Whom the Son he has redeemed.
Come on, set. Clap your hands.
Clap your hands, rejoice and sing.
You are the Lord.
I will bless the Lord.
And he's always been there.
I will bless the Lord.
And the promise he
and great tribulation. But is there anybody that learned how to bless the Lord in the midst of everything? Listen, listen, listen. To the storm and the rain,
I will bless the Lord.
To the heartaches and pain,
I will bless the Lord.
But I don't know which way to go.
I will bless the Lord.
You've been there for me right now.
I will bless the Lord.
Glory.